Okay, let's turn again to John's Gospel, chapter 11. John chapter 11, beginning in verse 28. Let's hear the word of God. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher is come and is calling for you." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then, when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing again as we open your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will illuminate the scriptures to us, that you'll open our hearts and our minds to receive them. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 13:16 says that in everything, the prudent acts with knowledge, but a fool flaunts his folly. Most of us have grown up in a world that is often influenced by Hollywood that says, you know what, if you're right about anything, you don't need to be bashful about it. You just be loud. You be forthright, and, you know, whatever. You yell about all kinds of things. Problem is, so many people today are loud, and they're nowhere near right. But you can remember superheroes. They never make quiet entrances. Superman's always blasting through somebody's wall. Now, you never wonder who had to go back and fix that? You know, did they have insurance? That didn't matter. Superman was busting through the wall. He made a grand entrance. It was loud. But sometimes the prudent thing is a little less dramatic. Also in Proverbs 12. 23, it says, "A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly." Jesus came to Bethany prudently. He came there at the request of Mary and Martha. But he came there later than they'd hoped. We remember they sent the word that Lazarus was sick. He was dying. Jesus, please come. And Jesus spends two extra days before he makes the journey. But even while they're mourning, they understand that some of the people who have come, who have gathered together with them to mourn with them, to support them, to console them, hate Jesus. And they, even in the midst of this, have a concern for Christ's safety. And there is a desire, I think, on their part, too, to meet with him in a more private setting. And having him come in might be risky for him, but it also exposes him. They're not going to be able to get him aside and talk to him. They're trying to keep it a little more private. When they were informed that he had actually arrived at the town, at least at the city limits or whatever, remember, Martha gets the news and she takes off. She runs out to see him and she expresses her sorrow and her lament was if only you'd been here. If only. But she says, "I believe that God will do whatever it is you say." And so that's quite the testimony. And the scripture says, and when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. That tells us a little something extra. We've talked about it before. But Jesus had a relationship with this family. Now, scripture obviously doesn't detail every event on a daily basis in Christ's life. But we see that there was some connection with the family of Lazarus between them and Jesus. That, you know, that Jesus, no doubt, was there, had fellowship with them, probably, you know, broke bread on several occasions, had opportunity to just teach them a little bit and that sort of thing. So there was a relationship. And when Martha returns to the house with this crowd of mourners and whatever sitting there, you know, it's kind of on the sly that she speaks to Mary. And she says, she doesn't say, Jesus is waiting for you. She says, the teacher or the master is calling for you. Now, the response of these sisters is quite similar. Martha, upon hearing that Jesus is in the area, takes off. She goes immediately to see him. And it was, you know, no point in waiting around. She wanted to see him. Well, Mary is told that he asked for her. Now, we don't see Jesus telling Martha, go back and get Mary. But obviously he did. Because she goes back and she says, the master is asking for you. The teacher is asking for you. And Mary immediately, quickly rises and goes to see him. Now, let's step back from it just a second and look at the situation. They're in mourning. Mary and Martha are in mourning. Their brother had just died. Now, we've all had that experience where a loved one has passed away. Some of you more recently. And the reactions are, you know, that people take to those circumstances are, you know, they're different. They're different. But these ladies loved their brother. And they had suffered a great loss. And so we might be sympathetic to them if upon hearing that Jesus was there, they would have said something like, well, we love you, Lord, but not now. This is a hard time for us. I hope you'll understand. We can't come and see you because we're just so overwhelmed with grief. You know, if you had just been here, but they didn't do that. They had a love for Jesus. They had a desire to obey him that transcended the natural impulses of men. You see, that's an amazing thing. The love of Christ, the love for Jesus, moves us to do things that we wouldn't otherwise do. We say, yo, I'm too tired. I just need to sleep in this morning. God understands if I can't make it to worship. He knows I work hard all week long. He knows I'm weary. Besides, look out the window. It's snowing. It's cold. God doesn't want me to be risky. He doesn't want me to go out and take him for granted and possibly crash my car because there's snow on the highways. The love for Jesus, the desire to obey Him, transcends our natural impulses. Moves us. When it would have been easy for these ladies to make excuses, and perhaps even legitimate excuses, their love for Christ overcame that. And they ran to see Him. Now, Jesus did not come to the home of Mary and Martha. And it's likely that He was waiting either at or at least near the cemetery. He was in that general vicinity because the work that He was going to do, that's where it was going to take place. So he was at the workplace, so to speak. He didn't come into town. And when those who had gathered at Lazarus's house saw Mary jump up and run out, they just assumed she was going there too. They said, you know what? She's been mourning here. Now she's going to go to the cemetery and mourn some more. Now the thing, just a side note, is in Jewish tradition, in their customs, they had professional mourners. So not everybody who had come to console Mary and Martha were doing it from a heart of love. They were doing it for a shekel. That was their job. They were paid to mourn. And apparently, Lazarus's family was. Lazarus had made some money. Whatever he did for a living, they were well-to-do. They were better-to-do than some. But even the poorest Jewish family was required, according to their tradition, to have at least two guys to play flutes and one mourning woman to go with them. So they probably had more of that as part of their thing. These people see her getting up, and they're saying, well, you know, it's our job to mourn, so she's going, we're going. They all headed out to the cemetery. And there is this possibility that Mary thought she could get down, you know, and go and be able to meet Jesus privately and just, you know, speak with Him. But that wasn't the purpose. That wasn't the plan for God. The hand of providence moved this entire crew out to the cemetery along with Mary because they were to be witnesses to what Jesus was going to do. Arriving at the cemetery, it says, when Mary came where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying to Him, Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. Mary had a true knowledge of who Jesus was, at least a limited true knowledge. She knew that He was not just another man. She knew that He had power. She knew that He may be a great teacher, a great prophet, that God was using Him. Whatever she knew about Jesus, she humbled herself before Him. She didn't go out and greet Him angrily, just as Martha hadn't done. They did express themselves in a manner that they probably were expressing themselves around the house all week long. You know, if only. it's possible that in his situation too, that Mary had deceived herself into thinking that there was a limitation on the power of Christ. Because she doesn't say you can fix it now. She doesn't confirm the confession that Martha had made, that I believe God will do whatever you ask him to do. If you'd have been here, he would have lived. But she doesn't, again, she doesn't echo Martha's confession, but that doesn't necessarily prove that she doesn't believe it. She is overwhelmed with grief, after all. That's a natural thing. That's a normal thing. That's not a condemned thing. She weeps. There is no stoicism among the family. There's no, stiff upper lip. You get through this thing. No sign of emotion. There's none of that. And Jesus doesn't look down on her for weeping. I have seen situations in the past where people have been genuinely grieving over a situation, and other well-meaning people putting them down for grieving. What are you crying about? What are you, especially in the event of someone passing, and we tell them, hey, they're in a better place now. They're living the life now, which may be true. That doesn't take away the grief of those who stay, of those who are still behind. That's a natural part of our lives. And Jesus does not put Mary down for weeping. She's crying over the loss. He doesn't tell her, hey, you're just weak. Yeah, Jesus understands how humans function. He's the creator, after all. He made us the way we are to do the things we do. But the weeping creates a reaction in Christ. Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, and he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Literally, he got mad. He got angry. The groaning, the Greek word says that he snorted like a horse, like an angry horse. That's what it means there. And so, you say, wow, what's going on here? Why is he mad? He's angry, but at who? Or what? What's he angry at? Jesus' anger is directed at the sin that's responsible for the death. But not just for the death of Lazarus. He is angry at the sin that came into this world because of Adam, that is responsible for the death of everyone. He's angry that for a moment, sin would appear to be victorious. He's angry at this blight that would generate so much distress in people. And you can almost hear him speak in an angry tone of voice. He says, where's he at? Where have you laid him? Where's the body? Where's the tomb? It's like, you know what? I'm not putting up with this. I am not going to allow the devil to have a little victory party today. Jesus came there for a purpose, and there was going to be no one who stood in his way. At the same time, Jesus wasn't cold-hearted. At the same time, Jesus, while angry at sin, had deep sympathy for those who had experienced the loss. It says, Jesus wept. Some of you might remember, this goes back a lot of years, but there was a TV commercial that portrayed an American Indian who witnessed some people littering. And he turns to the camera and there's a little tear running down his cheek. That's not what Jesus did. This shortest verse in the Bible tells us that Jesus burst into tears. Jesus showed great emotion. Jesus was showing great sympathy for those that he loved in the shedding of those tears. And you say, why? Why? Because he knows in his heart that this isn't the end of it. Why would he shed those tears? You know, because there's going to be a great work that he's about to do. Because he's touched with the feelings of our weaknesses. He shares the pain. He shares the grief. He expresses love in this manner. And those who see what's going on understand that this guy's not faking it, that he's not putting on a show. That his heart is genuinely being moved. Mary and Martha are weeping, and so Jesus in turn weeps. Those who see him do this are also moved. The Jews said, "See how he loved him." It's good for people to know that we love one another. It's good that they say, that they can see that, you know what? That there's something special about the body of Christ. That they genuinely care for each other. See how he loved him. And of course, they question too as well. That could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? It's an understandable question. It's a silly question because we have the benefit of hindsight. But they wondered too. I just wish that the love that Christ displayed here in this passage, and the love that was recognized by the people, see how he loved them. I wish that could be our testimony. That we could have such love for each other. By God's grace, we can. It's not an impossibility. Christ loves his church. Let's pray.